Hello and welcome to podcast number two. I'm Reggie. I am here again with Steve.
Hello.
It's been a while since the first one.
Yeah, it's been a couple of months.
April, I think.
Okay,
March,
a couple
March,
months.
March, April.
Right,
like
who's
that.
Counting?
Yeah, who cares? did some equipment upgrade.
Yeah,
that's
hey,
why it's delay, but upgrades are good.
Upgrades are always good.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
In the business we work in.
Yes. And since our live podcast, you got to go see one of your favorite, I would assume, superheroes.
Absolutely.
Man of Steel.
I did. It was epic. I seen it in IMAX 3D. It was good. I liked it. It was good.
So if you were to give it two thumbs up?
Yes, I'd give it two thumbs up. I know that's not being very coy. It's being fairly coy and descriptive. Like, I like it. No. Yeah, two thumbs up. Definitely go see it. And highly recommend it. It's got some plot idiosyncrasies, I guess you could say, idiosyncrasies to it. But it's a good movie. For what it is, it's a really good movie.
Cool.
If I had to rank it, it would definitely sit above Superman Returns. And above Superman 3 and Superman 4.
Well,
it's about Superman 2 material in terms of...
I was going to say anything should rank above Superman 4.
That's true.
I mean, I'd almost put the Batman from the 60s shows in Adam's West above Superman 4. No disrespect to Christopher Reeve, but...
No. That's for another podcast.
Yes.
Today we're here to talk about...
Batman. Bruce Wayne.
Batman.
The Caped Crusader.
I will find him with all of my hatred.
Now, while we're doing this, recording this podcast, Comic-Con is currently going on.
Yes.
And you had...
We should be there.
Yes, we should. But you had some interesting news that I did not know about.
Yeah, as of today, I guess they had a panel out there at Comic-Con, and they announced that Man of Steel 2, a.k.a. the next Superman movie for 2015, will be a Batman and Superman movie. Whether or not they're against each other, like a Batman versus Superman, or World's Finest kind of thing, I'm not quite sure yet. They just had this nice little teaser picture, and they kind of said this is going to happen.
Scale of 1 to 10, they actually... taught Christian Bale to playing Batman?
-5.
That's kind of what I thought. I think the fans would love it, but...
They'd have to back up Bruce Wayne's actual fortune in a couple of U-Hauls to force Christian Bale to come back, I believe.
I mean, I think...
Just
the,
saying.
I think the fans would love it, but realistically, not going to happen.
See, I don't think it works, though, in that concept, because the Dark Knight trilogy that Snyder and all them... Or not Zack Snyder, but... what's his face?
Yeah, Christopher
Nolan. Yeah, Nolan put together. I like to look at it as its own pocket universe.
Right.
I mean, it's about as realistic as you could ever expect a superhero movie period to be.
Right.
The way it is.
I think Christopher Nolan's Batman kind of set the standard. I think it's also they're part of the reason why you get all of a sudden all this interest in rebooting all these superhero movies, whether they've been done already or not done. All these origin stories are now coming out. I mean, Spider-Man 4, amazing. Although they claim that Sony claims it's not a reboot, they're just redoing a different.
There's a different take of a different comic book storyline.
Right. Which, okay, that's fine. But I mean, there's a lot of people out there say it's a reboot.
Yeah. And we all know why, though. It's not because they're not doing it for the fans. They're doing it for the almighty dollar.
Right. And someone let it slip, I read. And granted, this is not talking about Batman. But
Batman.
They basically said they're going for the Killer Six or whatever it is that it is in the Spider-Man universe, where they're trying to build up to where the final movie with Spider-Man that they're working on is going to be against four or five or six different villains all at one time that he's currently been going after. And
yeah. Have you seen the movie stills for Jamie Foxx? Is that Electro dude?
Yes.
Looks kind of creepy.
See how well they do it.
Yeah, but back to the man at hand.
Right, Batman. Batman's had a long history.
1939.
Comics. Bob Kane,
yeah. Used to work on Action Comics for Superman, actually. And then he kind of broke off and came up with Batman.
Right.
And then that's how...
Now, Batman over the 70-some plus years has had kind of different takes on him.
Yeah, he's 75 next year.
Kind of like Superman is this year.
Yeah, that's right.
There's been some ups and downs, but...
It's been a roller coaster ride in terms of depending on what your take of Batman is
and your views of Batman.
Yeah, it's a there's a lot of up and down to it. I mean, there's there's the old serials back in the mid 40s that was done, kind of like you'd go see it and you'd see go to the movies and you'd see one of these little piece of a serial, much like you would have found in the 60s with the Adam West show, stay tuned, come back tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel.
Right.
And but this was, you had that 66 Adam West Batman movie, and that's what most people think when they think early Batman movies. That's what they think of.
Right. And to me, I look at the series on TV and that one movie they did, which they did between the first and second season.
Yeah.
Of Batman that, to me, I kind of, my way of saying it's kind of cheese.
Corny.
In other ways,
supposed to be.
Yeah, corny. They didn't take it. It wasn't a serious. Of course, that was time.
Wasn't dark.
Yeah. No, that was a time when the comics were also kind of restricted.
They
hugely.
Were seriously handcuffed because of the Comics Authority
code. Which really kind of.
I get it because they were. Somebody got hotty-totty worrying about, what children are reading, these horror comics like Tales from the Crypt and things of that nature. And these real serious, almost crime novella. Graphic novels, essentially it's the original style graphic novels, and they were worried about kids becoming too violent reading those.
Right. And I don't think really Batman became Batman again until the 80s and then the early 90s when you got the Frank Millers and then you got the Nightfall series of Batman. You got the stuff where Batman kind of had his heyday in the comics. I'm sure he's still doing well in the comics, but it's been years since I've followed him in the comics.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what's going on. I mean, last time I seriously followed Batman in the comics was probably about 95 through about 99.
Yeah.
And it's been a while.
Yeah. I really can't say the last time I actually read a Batman comic, quite frankly.
I've got about 125 of them sitting at home in a storage container, safely preserved. Doubt they'll be worth anything someday.
Locked away in a bat safe somewhere with a Batman combination.
Right, and Robin has him in his tights.
Whoa. Maybe that's something we should discuss for later.
But
I'm not so sure that's the correct thing to talk about.
Yes, the podcast code may come down on me.
The podcast code of America.
Yes.
The PCA is here to tell you that you cannot talk about what's in Robin's pants.
Yes. The first really serious movie, or anything, TV or movie, that really came out was Tim Burton's Batman in 89.
Yeah. And I got a couple of little oddball tidbits about some of that. Let me just pull that up real quick. In fact, I just found this one out just probably 10 minutes before we started doing the show. The fact that Batman, the 89 Batman, owes all of its glory to Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. From various interviews, it's clear that there are two camps fighting over how they wanted to do that 89 movie. One wanted a campy version, real silly, just like the old 60s show.
Uh-huh.
And the other one wanted to go darker. Obviously, Tim Burton wanting to go darker.
Right.
But the only reason that Tim Burton got a chance to do Batman is because he had so much success doing Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
So, technically, there is a Pee-wee connection then.
There is a Pee-wee connection. So that's, and he's also, it's also kind of responsible for, I guess, Michael Keaton getting the role.
Because I remember, I was in high school when it was announced that Michael Keaton would be playing Batman / Bruce Wayne, and everyone's like, seriously, Beetlejuice? What the hell are they thinking?
Here's some of the people that they wanted to play, and, I'm not so sure that this would have been any better, quite frankly, because can you imagine Bill Murray playing Bruce Wayne / Batman?
No.
Yeah, he was initially offered the role.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
I can't see, even if Bill Murray would have taken the role seriously as Michael Keaton did and played it as serious as Michael Keaton, I don't think anyone would have bought his version of it.
No, I can't imagine anybody and this is not a knock on Bill Murray, because he's done some incredible work, especially later in his career, that's not this, crazy comedy stuff.
Right.
But you see Bill Murray in 89, there's only two roles, there's two or three roles you can think of. you're thinking Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, and Stripes.
Right.
You know, you're thinking the absolute hilarious version of Bill Murray, not this.
Right.
Not some of the stuff that you see today, but yeah, and nobody's going to go see that. They're like, wait, Bill Murray's Batman?
Yeah, and so who's going to be playing the Joker? Chevy Chase? I mean, come on.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, and you say that, I could have seen Bill Murray being the Joker.
Yeah, but then again,
I could have seen that actually. But that would have been interesting.
But then again, I mean.
Actually, that's not a knock on Jack Nicholson, by the
no,
way.
No.
That's just saying.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, I mean, Jack Nicholson got top billing in that movie over mm-hmm. Michael Keaton. How often do you see where the villain gets top billing in the movie as far as the actor who's playing him over your hero?
Other than the first Superman movie?
Okay. Two instances.
Because they had, you know. Well, Jackman was far more known than in Hollywood and Christopher Reeve was.
Yeah, but wasn't Christopher Reeve like third or fourth listed on that, actually?
Because because Marlon Brando.
I think it was what Marlon.
But still, yeah. I mean, it was still Gene Hackman, Marlon Brando.
Christopher Reeve. And then the rest of the ensemble.
Depending on which ones you've seen, he could have been fourth or fifth because, you know, they had so many big names playing the surrounding cast.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of what they did with Batman, too. I mean, Michael Keaton was a known commodity more than Chris Reeve was. But, I mean, everybody knows who Jack Nicholson is. Everybody knew.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, The Shining. I mean, there's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for the most part, more people probably knew who. Kim Basinger was
right
at that time
because she was in a Bond movie, not an official Bond movie, but she was in
Never Say Never.
You know, she wasn't in Never Say Never with Sean Connery, which that movie in itself, it's not necessarily a bad Bond movie, but
which
that's
you know that,
the point.
That that's also kind of interesting that we mentioned Kim Basinger because you know who she was married to, right?
The guy who can't seem to keep himself out of trouble with the Pavarotti,
Alec Baldwin,
right?
Also offered the role of Batman. Now that would have been interesting. Also, and now you know, and technically, I think if they wanted to go and do an older Batman,
kind of like a Batman Beyond type,
of thing. A Batman Beyond thing where they wanted to kind of do that, I can see him doing this as a kind of a comeback role. But I also have my sources here say that Mel Gibson was offered the role as Batman for 89.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course, 89, I mean, Lethal Weapon 2 was coming out, so.
Yeah, I mean, that man couldn't have done any wrong in 89. Not in the box office, anyway.
Right. Yeah. When I went and saw that movie, I was a senior in high school, saw the Batman movie.
I won't
movie.
Tell you how old I was.
Well, I'm not going to tell you any. I mean, if you know if I'm a senior in high school, you can guess how old I am, so.
I was in third grade.
Wow. Wow. Enjoy that nap after the cookies. I'm kidding.
It was good. I liked my cookies. They were yummy. I had some pie and some cookies and some punch. It was yummy.
Wow. Cartman joined us. Congratulations. I mean, I saw that movie, and I was, even as a senior in high school, I was like a kid. I loved that movie. I mean, at the time, I was like, cool, a superhero movie that's not been taken, that's being done for the kids.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, I thought at that time that was the ultimate, other than the first one or two Superman movies, that was the ultimate superhero movie.
I mean, and, you
know, at that time.
And there had been other superhero movies done but they were so horribly done and so underfunded and so just cheesy.
Right. Well, Hollywood never took any of those movies seriously. Well, no. They treated them as B-class, as I say, movies that no name actors, very low budget.
Yeah.
Rarely did they come to theater.
Well, I mean, and I think Batman falls under the same category as the first Superman movie. First two Superman movies, they were the indie films. Essentially, they're indie films. Nobody wants to admit it, but they're independently financed. They weren't financed through big,
right?
You know, the big studios.
Now, I'm sure Warner Brothers would like to claim that they were behind it, but
yeah, I mean. I'm sure Warner Brothers probably had more money invested in Batman than they did the first Superman movie, but that's just because I think they knew that it was. I think when they seen what they could do with it, I think they had to invest. You know, they realized they were going to have to invest some money into it.
Right. Now, according to my notes, the original ending of the 1989 Batman movie,
mm-hmm.
according to what I found, now I don't know how true this is. I'm assuming it's got to be somewhat accurate. But
I'll see if I can get a hold of
supposedly the Joker actually kills Vicki Vale.
That wouldn't surprise me.
But they didn't want to make Batman seem like he was vengeful.
Yeah.
Because supposedly he goes after the Joker, which would be natural. So someone reworked the entire ending, really not telling Tim Burton. And Tim Burton wasn't really sure how to end the movie, because when they rewrote it with the tower scene.
Yeah.
Gotham, you know, City Tower, with that whole... the whole thing, doing it that way, and it cost him an extra $100,000 for that reworking of the ending. But then again, you know, as far as,
you know, if people complain about stuff like that, but then you go and watch the movie and you realize, no, this was the right way to go.
Well, then again, also, if you also read the comics, I mean, Batman's not necessarily the nicest guy.
Oh no, he's a very brooding.
Right.
Ass.
I mean, if you really want to, if you really want to know what Batman really is, I mean, you wouldn't let your kids. If they really made Batman movies like they were do in the comics, mm-hmm. you wouldn't let anyone under 18 go see those movies because...
Well, no.
Well, if you were a parent and you had kids who were like 12 and 13 going, ooh, I want to go see this, you wouldn't let them out of the house to go see it.
Well...
To a point.
Yeah, I mean, there any good Batman movie or any good Batman television series or anything of that nature really deserves you know, at a minimum PG-13, a real strong PG-13.
Right.
You know, or if they were to do a TV series based on it, you know, that would almost have to be now, Showtime HBO kind of material.
Right. Now Batman would make a great drama network. Series if they were to do it right and be willing to put the money into the series.
Yeah, that's a key word right there, money, because those shows like that require a lot of money to do.
Right. And how often would you actually see Bruce Wayne as Batman? Probably not until, you know, one or two times in the show. Well, not that often.
Look what they did with Smallville. They did all the effects and never had him in the suit until the very end of the series. And, you know, you could see something like to that effect, but it's all about, you know, the cost of sets and how much can you reuse certain sets to make them cost effective.
Right.
You know, luckily with Batman, you know,
the Batcave, once you kind of got
you get the Batcave figured out, once you get your sets for, you know, Wayne Manor.
The police. Yeah. You obviously, you're going to have some sort of. If you're going to have a Gordon, you got to have some sort of police station.
Yeah, I mean,
and then the rest is just kind of whatever the episode
just
calls
as long,
for.
Just as long as they don't do it like the original Batman series, where you've seen the Batmobile pull up and you see the exact same shot in every episode.
Right.
You see the Batmobile pull up and you see the same three ladies like, oh my, Batman and Robin are here. Oh no, I wonder what's going on in the city.
Well, I mean,
and you're like, really?
I mean,
you couldn't even at least flipped it so it came in on the other side of the street just for once, just to say, hey, I know, let's make him come in from the other side.
Well, then if you look at the Batman series on TV, I mean,
watch it every Saturday.
Well, who? Because
I'm here.
Well, you know, who wouldn't be able to figure out at, you know, Bruce Wayne and you know, Burt Ward or not Batman and Robin? Because I mean,
Dick Grayson,
or Burt Ward. What the?
Burt Ward is Dick Grayson.
Yeah. So,
sorry, I just, you know.
Anyway,
don't be confused by the man behind the microphone, folks. He just got his names mixed up. He knows who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And you should too. I don't know where I'm going with this.
But yeah, but but after the movie came out in 89, I mean, Michael Keaton really changed a lot of people's opinions.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, they kind of solidified. I was watching Batman Returns the other day on, I think it was Sci-Fi. And I was just like, you know, he was a pretty good Batman. He really was.
Now, see, my problem, I have a small problem with Batman Returns. Some people say it was too dark. The studio thought it was too dark. I didn't think it was really any dark.
I thought it was perfect.
I didn't think it was any darker than the first one, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think it was just because of maybe the way they had the Penguin done, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, my problem with Batman Returns is it seems like there wasn't enough Bruce Wayne trying to figure out things out like he did in the first one. It's like every time you saw Batman, it was like all of a sudden he was showing up to save the day.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that kind of rubbed me wrong with that movie.
And that's become the problem with the Batman movies as a whole, actually, kind of the majority of the series. The first four movies.
Well, right.
The first is that there was too much star power and... It's kind of like having too many stars on a football team and only one ball to pass around.
Right, because you get the Batman Forever. You got Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. You've got
Tommy Lee Jones.
I mean, you got all these people.
Nicole Kidman.
Right. You get all these people in these movies, and you've got to try and give them equal time. So you focus
you've
more
almost,
on the villains.
You almost made Batman the sub-character.
Right. You focus more on the villains, and then, you see a little bit of Bruce Wayne, but every time you see Batman, it's basically, oop, here I am.
Yeah.
You know? And really, Bruce Wayne's really kind of more, and Batman's being both one and the same, are really more kind of a detective in a certain sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of his little monikers, the world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, Ra's al Ghul, sometimes we'll refer to him as detective as opposed to any other moniker.
Which I think that's what the Nolan movies did best, mm-hmm. as far as making Bruce Wayne out to... trying to figure things out with Alfred, and that kind of stuff. So he made him more realistic as far as trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I mean the serious realism with that trilogy is, I think without question, the most down to earth superhero movie you'll find in terms of its roots are as realistic as possible,
grounded as can be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's grounded as you could possibly hope to make a superhero movie.
Right.
Period. I mean, there's the technology that he uses in the movies, it's a little space age, but it's not out of the realm to believe that this could be done by anybody with enough money.
Right, it's still believable.
Yeah,
unlike the bat plane in the first four movies.
Yeah,
that one was a little suspect.
Actually, I like the bat plane in the first one.
Well, because he goes up, does a little moon
shot. That was actually really cool. I thought, hey, that's badass.
Yeah.
By the way, though, I don't care
now
what anybody says. The Batmobile from the 89 Batmobile is still the coolest one of the bunch.
As far as looks,
hands down. It's the meanest looking thing you'll ever see. And I know there's people like, oh, the Tumbler's better. No way, man.
Okay, the Tumbler might be better as far as sophistication and protecting the Batman, or maybe getting the job done. But cool factor.
I don't know, man.
The cool factor still has to go to the 89.
I don't know, man. You remember there's that scene where Batman's being chased through the streets and he just yells into his little microphones, and the whole car shields itself up, basically makes it impregnable.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I have to go with the 89 one over cool factor and technology. I mean, add a couple of LCD high-def screens into it, and it would still outshine anything.
Yeah. Now, Warner Brothers' problems with the first four movies is on the third and fourth one.
Joel Schumacher?
Yes. I mean, they let that man direct the movies, and
carte blanche for somebody like him is a bad idea.
And he made no bones about that he thought Batman should be done like the 60s.
Yeah.
And now, he didn't get too crazy on Batman Forever, because Warner Brothers kind of said, okay, you can direct the movie. They let him lighten up to a point, but Warner Brothers still kept the reins on him and still wanted some of that darkness from the first two.
You know what would have done him so much better? And him being Schumacher, is if somewhere, because if I remember right, if memory serves me right, didn't Schumacher work with Richard Donner in The Lost Boys?
I have no idea.
I believe so, off the top of my head. And if I'm wrong, folks, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure they worked together on that. And you need somebody who's a little more grounded when you do a movie like this.
Well, there was a thing saying that when they were shooting, Batman and Robin, every time they get ready to shoot a scene, he basically tell everyone, remember everyone, this is just a toy.
Yeah,
it's not real. So what kind of and confidence do you instill in your actors to make them playing the characters as believable as possible when you got someone up there saying, yeah, this guy's just an idiot. This is not whatever, should be taken lightly. Who cares?
Yeah. So here's a couple of tidbits for you. Now, we're going to fast forward to the last movie, and then we're going to come back to Batman Forever. Okay. So you've seen the last one, right?
Yes, I've seen Dark Knight Rises.
And they kind of made this allusion to the Robin character basically becoming the new Batman.
Okay.
Did you know that Christian Bale once auditioned for Robin for...
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, he don't like to talk about it. He doesn't like to talk about it at all. But yeah, he auditioned to play Robin in Batman Forever. And
well, that if he had gotten that role instead of his name eludes me, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
You think he still would have gotten to play Batman?
I don't know. But, you know, reading kind of through some of my notes here, you know, let's just say that Tommy Lee Jones and Val Kilmer didn't really like each other on set. And Christian Bale being kind of a volatile person, as we've all seen him in the public life when things don't necessarily go his way.
Well, there's also that real public incident that
happened.
That's
what I'm referring to.
Yes.
If he's kind of a volatile person, and can you imagine if he had gotten caught up between the issues between Kilmer and Tommy Lee Jones? that could have been bad.
Robin would have gotten to kill Two-Face like he wanted to.
That's right. Well, maybe not. Maybe he would have killed Batman. He was like, he could have gone Red Hood and like, I'm killing everybody, I don't care.
So
you're cool though. You're cool. But I hate you all.
So how would you rate the first four movies in order of how you liked them? First one, you know, from best to worst.
I would say one and two kind of tie for me because I both like them equally, but on different levels for different reasons.
Okay.
Then I would say three because I thought it was, quite frankly, I thought it was the best casting in the history of forever to have at the time Jim Carrey play the Riddler. I mean,
right.
he just screams Edward Nygma.
Right. I think the original producers originally would have liked to have Robin Williams at the time, but
yeah.
I think there was issues there.
Probably. I think there was a scheduling issue or something.
Something like that.
But, I mean, you look at it and he just, you know, you're just like, yeah, he's the Riddler. And when I seen that, I was like, it's almost too perfect.
Right.
You know, he's goofy, he's zany. You know, he kind of gave off that Frank Gorshin version from the 60s. It's kind of
right, and he was skinny like the Riddler is in the comic. So
yeah,
although I think I read somewhere where he actually lost a little weight,
probably
to make himself look more
gaunt for the role. The only thing I really wish they would have done for Batman Forever in that sense is I wish they would have figured out a way to bring back Billy Dee Williams to play Two-Face. Because he played Harvey Dent in the first movie.
Right. It would have been consistent.
Yeah, it would have been consistent, would have been perfect. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I don't know how they actually would have turned out. But I think people would have respected the movie a little bit more, saying, okay, we're sticking with this. And maybe if they would have made Two-Face a little darker.
Right.
Because, I don't know, that whole dichotomy of everything you see around him, it was too loud and too crazy.
Right.
That being said, it was still better than Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin.
Now, my listing of movies...
And the bastardization that was Bane.
Right.
I hear that version.
Well, yeah, I've got a thing about Bane, but we'll get that here in a minute. Because my ranking of the first four movies would be the first Batman movie.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd have to put three.
Really? You like three better than two?
And then put two, and then go with four.
Now, why do you like three better than two?
I guess because I don't know. There's something about it's not necessarily two, right?
It's Dude's not dick the car.
No, it's not necessarily that two's bad.
No,
it's just something to me. Every time you saw Michael, you didn't see enough of Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, which bugged me.
Right.
You know, and it was just every time they focused a lot on the Penguin, which is fine to a point.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every time you turn around, all of a sudden something's going on, and just Batman just pops in.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, it's like, you know, I want to see Bruce Wayne figuring out what the hell the, you know, Penguin's doing.
Right.
And be more, you know, more like he was with the first one, the Joker, being more intuitive. Trying to figure out what this guy's up to.
Right.
Instead of just all of a sudden, you know, somehow he figures out he's doing something wrong and he just shows up.
Right.
So that's that part of that movie.
You wanted to see a more proactive Bruce
Wayne
less,
Batman.
And a less reactive Batman.
Right. Right. It's not to say that two's bad.
Right.
It's just for that small instance, I'd have to put two under three. Now, I don't really care for Schumacher as a director, but the fact he wasn't given full reins of the movie and Tim Burton was the executive producer, at least of the third one. There was still some he didn't have full control over the movie.
Right.
So, yeah, he got to lighten it up, put in some colors like he wanted, but 3 was still, even though Schumacher technically still directed it, it was still a decent Batman movie.
Right.
And I think that's where Warner Brothers went to fault when they gave him and let him give gave they gave him full control on the fourth one.
Right.
Is then he got to basically turn it into what he wanted it in the first place.
Right.
Crap.
Basically, yeah. And nobody wanted to see that.
Crap. I mean, and I know Clooney was on Tonight Show or something like that and basically admitted at one time, well, I killed the Batman franchise.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, Clooney didn't necessarily kill the Batman franchise.
The only thing, Clooney should have put his hand,
Because of the first four movies, you've made mention of this to me before, he had the best look as far as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he was a very good Bruce. I thought he was the better Bruce Wayne of the bunch.
Right. He had the best look for Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. But then again, anything Clooney does, he gives, you know, he makes it look good. He had the best look of Bruce Wayne. Batman and Robin failed in A, the script, in my opinion.
Yeah.
B, Schumacher, right there. And C, they made Bane and Mr. Freeze total just, it was just too 60-ish.
Yeah.
And it just, that's the first of the four Batman movies that when I saw in the theater, I felt cheated.
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't even go see the fourth one in the theater.
I mean,
I'd seen the first three. Well, no, I'd seen two and three. And
it's not even nothing. I think, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger could have made an excellent Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
In the right circumstances, with the right script, if it had been in more of the darker tone of the first and second one, I think Schwarzenegger would have made a badass Mr. Freeze, if done right. But they made him too, you know, with that one scene.
Too many puns.
You know, with that one scene in there, he's trying to sing, getting his cronies to sing with him. And, you know, he's in bunny slippers and sitting there, or polar bear slippers, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too cheesy.
There was a lot to be desired about the fourth one in terms of, you know, like the whole issue with Batgirl being Alfred's niece.
Niece.
Is that right? Niece? Grandniece? Something
niece,
like that?
Yeah. She was related to Alfred in some way. As opposed
to being Gordon's
daughter. Which, okay, I guess it worked. It was all right. But nah, there's so many wrongs with that movie. That shouldn't even be classified a Batman movie in my book.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of bad Batman movies, though.
Okay. Because after you get done with this, I want to move on to the Nolan series here.
Okay, well, that's fine. There's some good tidbits here. So we all kind of agree that Batman 4 essentially sucked. Batman and Robin essentially sucked. But did you know if it hadn't bombed, they were ready to go with a fifth one?
Okay.
Called Batman Triumphant. It would have been in 99. And Clooney would have been back as Batman, which I don't, you know.
That's assuming they could have gotten him to come back.
Well, I think they probably had it set. Well, I mean, when you sign a movie contract, you're usually sign up for a few movies at a time.
Right.
X amount of projects with said company to do whatever. But here's where it gets even weirder.
Well, I do know, and I'm sorry to interrupt you here, I do know I did read where Schumacher went to Warner Brothers a year or two after Batman and Robin failed and came with a darker script, wanting to do another Batman movie to redeem himself, because I guess after a couple years, year or two after, knowing that it got such bad press, bad reviews, and the movie bombed so bad, that he wanted to redeem himself to the Batman fans.
Right.
But Warner Brothers decided not to go with him, and eventually they ended up going with, you know, eventually went to Nolan and his.
And that's fine.
Yes.
So, but can you imagine, and this will tie into our eventual transition into the Nolan series because of who the villains were supposed to be for this so-called fifth Batman movie that would have came out in 99. Can you believe Nicolas Cage as the Scarecrow?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's not necessarily completely unbelievable.
Can you believe Madonna as Harley Quinn?
Possibly.
In 99, yes, I can see.
With the outfit she wears and still wears. Yeah, yeah.
The problem is, and this is not a knock on Madonna because she's always in excellent shape, is that you need a 20-something.
Right.
You need a 20-something girl to play Harley
and
Quinn.
And you need someone for the way they draw them in the comics. And granted, they draw all females like this in the comics, but you almost needed something a little bit more, what's the PC way of being able to put this?
Voluptuous?
Yes.
Curvy?
Curvy, voluptuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need someone with...
But you know what, though? in the movies, that doesn't necessarily transition well to having that curvy. What you really need is somebody who's Jersey.
Right.
That's what you really need. You really need somebody who's just and this is not a knock on anybody from New Jersey that's listening to this, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, that kind of that real Jersey Shore kind of accent well before the show ever came out.
Right.
But then you remember a TV show called Perfect Strangers?
Yes, Balky.
The other guy. Guy that wasn't Balky.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
He was supposed to play Man-Bat.
Man-Bat. I don't know if I've heard of that.
He's kind of like this alternate. It's hard to explain. We don't got time to go into Man-Bat.
Yeah.
But okay. He would have been a third villain for the movie.
Three villains. That would have been pushing.
Yeah.
It.
Well, you know, and they've they did three villains with the fourth one essentially.
True.
You know, and but yeah, so. Yeah, that I mean that could have happened. just so you know, that could have happened. And yeah, so I think, but you know, Nicolas Cage's Scarecrow, I think that's a wonderful tie-in to Batman Begins, because that was one of the primary villains for Batman Begins with Scarecrow.
Right, Crane. Batman Begins, it started this whole, I really think, set the tone for,
I was in Iraq when that movie came out. Wasn't that?
Oh, I know where I was.
That was 2005, right?
Yes, 2005.
Yeah, I was in Iraq when that came out.
2005, it had a budget of $150 million, and it took in $374 million worldwide.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, quite frankly, it was the probably the perfect Batman movie to do at the time, because it was the freshest idea I think anybody's
had.
Well,
it was an origin story, and there was someone asked in an interview when Batman Begins came out, asked Michael Keaton what he thought if he'd seen Batman Begins, and he said he saw it, he loved it, he thought what they did was great. He said he'd have been willing to come back for a third one, but he was wanting to come back. He was wanting to go back and do an origin story and set before the first one.
Yeah.
And that's the only way he was willing to come back, and he wished they had done an origin story with Bruce Wayne to begin with in the first place. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that's the thing with what people want to see today. People want to see
how these guys get to the point.
Where they get to the point.
Yeah. Why are they putting their bodies on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which is, and this is slightly off subject, which is why I really liked, and I know you may catch flack for this, so I apologize in advance. That's why I really liked the A-Team movie, because you never really got an origin story for that.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was great. And problem is, you'll probably never see a sequel to it.
Yeah.
And I thought that movie was great. I thought the casting of it, at first I was a little questionable of Hannibal.
Yeah.
But after 10 minutes into the movie,
You bought it.
I was like, okay. I buy him as Hannibal. Forgive me. His name eludes me right now, the actor. I don't know why. But
that's funny, because, you know, he trained Batman.
Yes, I know. He was Ra's al Ghul. I don't know why his name eludes me
and
right
he,
now.
And he was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes, Liam
Come
Neeson.
Come on, man.
I know.
He's the baddest man alive.
He's
the leader of the A-Team. He trained Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, I should be sending myself to my room right now.
You
for
should,
this.
Without supper, without a drink, without anything.
Without my PS3 or my Blu-ray player.
Yeah, 100 lashes.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, 10 minutes into the A-Team,
Liam
I bought
effing
it.
Liam effing Neeson, man.
And I thought the guy who played Face, another name is eluding me right now for whatever stupid.
Played who?
Face.
Oh, on the A-Team.
Yes, on the A-Team.
Bradley Cooper.
Right. You know, I'd love to see but that movie did all right, but I don't think it did good enough for them to.
I don't think so either.
Did it good enough for them to warrant a sequel?
It might warrant a made-to-video sequel, which will make me really cringe, but
because they won't have the same actors.
Yeah,
no way.
Like I said, I know that was off topic, but I really enjoy a good origin story, and I think everybody really enjoys a good origin story because it sets it up, especially if you want to do a franchise. You have to have some. You just can't go into it anymore and be like,
and
we're doing this, and this is why we're doing it. We don't know why we're doing it, but this is what they're doing.
Well, I think that's the reason why the Nolan series works so well.
Yeah.
You have a beginning with Batman Begins.
Uh-huh.
You've got the middle of Batman being trusted by Gordon,
uh-huh,
being almost taken seriously by the public.
Yeah.
You know, they're trusting him to clean up the streets.
Right.
You know, get rid of the Joker. And then you have the end of, quote, Batman in a certain sense with Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
so you got this whole roundup of a guy who wants to do right by his city, becomes a vigilante, spends his own money using his own corporation to secretly finance it with the guy who he points head of his corporation to help him out.
Yeah.
And you know, that series just worked. Because, you know, you had Ra's al Ghul and Crane. And I didn't, when I first saw Batman Begins, I didn't expect Liam Neeson to turn up as actually Ra's al Ghul, because you figured you bought the beginning. You know,
I knew exactly who he was supposed to be when I seen it. I was like, oh, check it out, it's Ra's al Ghul. Who, like, who? I'm like, you guys are suckers. You don't deserve to watch this movie.
See, you know, because when I saw the movie, I actually bought into the one guy that, you know, I thought was Ra's al Ghul.
Oh.
So you know, I bought into it.
Okay, so you thought, okay, when they burned down the...
Right, and you know, Temple, okay. I actually thought...
That right, Asian dude was Ra's al Ghul.
Right, okay. So I thought when, you know, he pulled Liam Neeson's character out of there and left him with the one guy, you know, going back down the mountain.
Yeah.
I figured, okay, you won't see him again. Well, when you saw him then in Wayne Manor at the quote, birthday celebration...
Yeah.
And that older lady says, I want you to meet Ra's al Ghul, and turns around, and there's Liam Neeson. I'm thinking, shit, I didn't see that coming. Excuse me. But anyway, you know, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And you know, that whole series just worked.
Right.
Now, something I want to make mention with the Nolan series, between Alfred and Bane.
Okay.
Okay? I know, it sounds weird. I think of the two Alfreds, between the first four movies and then Michael Caine's version of Alfred in Nolan series.
Uh-huh.
I think Michael Caine's version of Alfred was probably the more realistic version of whatever. But the guy they used in the first four to play had the more, to me, the more Alfred look in a certain sense. You know, he had the look of Alfred to me. More so than what Michael Caine did, but Michael Caine's version of Alfred, I think, was played out a lot better.
Right. I'll buy that.
And now, same thing goes for Bane. I think Bane's look in Batman and Robin was more what the comics were.
Yeah.
But Tom Harding's version of Bane was more accurate portrayal as far as his brains
and personality. Right. Yeah, that's the problem I had with Bane from Batman and Robin. It was just like this mindless aberration. I was like, really?
A brooding grunt that was just no more than a lackey to Ivy.
Yeah, he's just a heavy for Poison Ivy. Do the heavy lifting, exactly.
Right.
Whereas, you know, he's like, oh, okay. You know, you watch Dark Knight Rises and you're like, oh, there's a real character in there.
Right.
You know, and that's why I really...
So that's why I made those. That's why I made those comparisons to those two characters because
bastard movie.
Because both, you know, I kind of look at it as two different series with the first four and Nolan series, and there are certain parts where the first four kind of got it right,
right.
And then there's other parts where Nolan has it right as well,
right.
Although I think Nolan series is probably more right all the way around.
Yeah, and I think it's not necessarily so much about being right, but being grounded, knowing its audience. I think it knows its audience better.
Now, I may get flack for this.
Okay.
And I've asked my wife this before.
Okay.
And now she likes The Dark Knight.
Uh-huh.
Because she loves Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker.
Oh, okay.
She thought he played him so well, you know, in that dark, deep, brooding place, wherever it is he had to grow up to come to be in that state.
Right.
She loves him better than Jack Nicholson's version, which I would agree. I think he played the better Joker.
Okay.
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 Would Heath Ledger had won the Oscar for that role if he had not died? With no disrespect intended to him or his family, would he have still won if he had not died? Would he still even been nominated?
Nominated, yes. I'm not so sure he would have won. I think he would have been nominated. I really do think he would have been nominated because it was a very powerful portrayal of a very sadistic being.
Right.
Winning, I'm not so sure. I think his death was. I'm not going to lie. I think he probably got a couple of sympathy votes in there for it.
I think his death got him the win.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And as I said, no disrespect to him or his family. It's just I always wondered that if he hadn't have died, or at least not died till. you know, mm-hmm. I shouldn't go there. But anyway, I just kind of always wondered if he'd actually would have still won the Oscar if he had not have
died. You know, he has a second part in that movie, right?
He does?
Yeah, there, he has a small, if you go back to the where Bruce and the little ballerina are having dinner with Harvey Dent and
okay.
What's her face?
Okay, I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah, there, he has a quick cameo as himself in
the background.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that and check that out.
It's kind of neat.
Okay.
Did you know that? I love the stoned look on your face. You're like, huh? Really? What?
Did you know that on your own, or did you read that somewhere?
Actually, I found that on somewhere, what was it, a couple weeks ago, I think. I was just like, oh. Well, looky there. Well, you know, that's not the first time I've seen that done, though. You can see that in, what, Scream 2, and I have seen that before where Matthew Lillard, who was the killer in the first one, shows up at the party.
I believe you said something about that with the Predator movie, too. The guy who plays Predators in the...
The guy who actually plays the Predator...
Is piloting the chopper.
Yeah, is the pilot of the chopper at the end of the movie.
Or at the beginning of the movie, I thought you said.
No, it's the end of the movie.
End of the movie?
Yeah.
I thought you said the beginning.
No, it's the end.
Okay.
It's the big dude at the end.
Okay.
But, yeah. That happened.
Now, I want to go touch the thing on Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
On Dark Knight Rises, at the end, actually towards the beginning of the movie, where Alfred makes that kind of touching speech to Bruce Wayne about, you know, he's referring back to Batman Begins, where the 7 years where he thought he was dead, and he, you see that. He talks about going to this place in France or wherever it was and having dinner and hoping he would see, just to get that nod or whatever.
To know that he's okay.
Know that he's okay or whatever. And in a certain sense, though, he still kind of, you know, I think he said he wished he was still, had stayed dead or something, something like that. At the end of Dark Knight Rises, after everyone assumes Batman is dead, Batman slash Bruce Wayne is dead.
Right.
And then you go through that whole sequence there at the end where they're trying to wrap everything up.
Uh-huh.
You know, you see where, you know, Blake is Robin and all that good stuff. Uh-huh. That scene where they show Alfred there again at that restaurant and they show you a quick glimpse of Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
Right.
You think that was actually him seeing them or was that just in his imagination?
I think you really seen him. I think you really did see him. And I think... It was the, we're going to close the door on these movies, but we're not going to lock it.
I think, and after.
Just in case we want to bring a U-Haul truck full of money back to Christian Bale's doorstep and say, we need you, buddy.
Right.
Suit up.
Right. And I've asked you that before, but to me, I'd have to agree, he probably really did see him. Because why would you, if Alfred really didn't see him. There's no point in having the scene with Fox asking his technicians about the autopilot on the Batplane.
Right.
And they said, well, it was corrected 6 months ago by Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Because if Alfred, to me, didn't really see him, you know, because
the only way I think that Alfred didn't really see him is if Selina Kyle wasn't in the shot. If Selina wasn't there.
Then it would have been a possibility of just his imagination.
Yeah, his imagination. But because you see Selina there. That's why I'm more inclined to believe that he really does see Bruce there.
Because what I was getting at is there's no sense in putting that scene with Mr. Fox in there if he's not really there that Alfred sees.
Right.
Because if Alfred doesn't really see him, then there's no sense in having that short little scene of Fox trying to clear his conscience.
Right. Exactly.
There's no point in that scene.
Exactly. They're really. I mean, yeah.
So I think that was the writer's way of letting everyone off the hook of he's not really dead.
Right.
You can take down the hankies now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it's funny when I seen the movie, you know, I was like, no, Bruce didn't die. I knew immediately that Bruce didn't die. I was like, no, they the way the movie was, and I hate to say this because I like the movie, some of it was entirely too predictable. There was too many spots in that movie that I was like, this is too predictable for what it was.
They did a lot
of Dark Knight I'm not going to say it left me on edge guessing what was going to happen next, but anything that they did was it wasn't blatantly predictable, such as the scene in Dark Knight Rises, where you have Bruce trying to get out of the well or out of the hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I knew. I said, as I'm watching this, I said, there's no way he gets out of this with that rope attached to his waist. It's just too predictable. And you know, the second he figures out that he needs to take the rope off, it's the second he makes it. And I was like, oh, man, really? That's kind of lame. I mean, there were some plot letdown points in that movie, and that was kind of one of the big ones. It's like, could you have found a better way to have written that? You know, and like I said, when you see the bat, as it's called,
uh-huh,
take off with that explosive, I was like, no, he didn't die. He didn't die. He may have blew up, but...
Now, between all seven movies out there,
yeah,
what villain's the only one to make an appearance in three movies? Same guy.
Well, Scarecrow.
Yeah, Scarecrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of villains, we should really delve into that just a few minutes, if you got it.
Yeah, we got a few minutes here.
Because I know we've only seen the same villain... we've only seen two villains show up in both sets of movies, if you will.
Joker and Bane.
Okay, and Catwoman.
Okay, three then.
I wasn't really thinking of Bane because I don't really count that Bane is just kind of a...
Yeah, but still...
It's almost a heavy extra.
Right, but still, but technically he was there, so...
Okay.
Three.
All right, so there's three, but I still really can't count that. I'm sorry, I can't do it. We both kind of... I know you much rather prefer the... you prefer the Heath Ledger version of the Joker over Jack Nicholson's.
To a point.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Michelle Pfeiffer or Anne Hathaway?
And now, if you want to go as far as strictly looks?
No. I mean, the actual... Just the whole ball of wax, man.
I don't have to say... My gut wants to say I would buy Anne Hathaway's version better.
Okay.
It's just, to me, there was too many, as you would say, cliches.
And notice how I don't use Halle Berry.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's a whole other movie. Yeah, but
I know, I'm just throwing that out there.
There's too many, quote, I don't know what I want to say, too many little cliches in that movie as far as Catwoman. I mean, falling in a thing of cat litter.
Well, yeah.
You know, there's just too many. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's got the looks. Probably better look in an actual, quote, cat suit, if you want to put the two comparison in a suit. But I think Anne Hathaway is probably the more believable version.
Okay.
For what she is.
Yeah, and for what the character's supposed to be, I think I might agree with you on that, because Catwoman is essentially supposed to be a cat burglar.
Right.
You know, a really good one.
Right. So I'd almost have to say, you know, that's a more believable...
Yeah.
Catwoman than probably anyone's been out there.
Okay. And you don't think she was too skinny? I remember that was that was the big deal.
No.
It's like, oh man, she needs to put on some weight.
No.
In the end, I thought she looked really good.
No, so. I think she was fine. I think some people questioned it at the beginning. Why are you putting her as Catwoman?
Oh yeah. Oh man, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but right before the movie came out, there were some stills of her with those
goggles,
and man, did they tear her apart for that. Like, why has Catwoman got goggles on?
Well, there's also that was kind of twofold. Like, that was twofold, because if you notice, when she would put them up on the top of her head, it gave her a profile, her head, like a cat.
Yeah.
So I could see where, I think you could pick apart anything. You could probably pick apart stuff out of the Nolan series just as much as you could pick apart stuff
from the
first four.
Well, no, I just
thought
that was a really trivial thing to pull apart.
Right. I think, well,
because you wanted her to be a cat burglar,
right?
And she had everything that they gave her the, for all, you know, all intents and purposes, a cat burglar feel,
right? Now,
not some weird super criminal that has
cat-like powers. There was one thing I never really thought of after seeing The Dark Knight Rises. There's one thing, and I didn't really think about it till after I read a critic's review of The Dark Knight Rises that I found on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And the critics basically beef. The only really beef he had with The Dark Knight Rises was how, even though Bruce Wayne held himself up for 8 years, basically as a, you know, secluded in his mansion,
mm-hmm,
not really being seen in public hardly ever at all.
Uh-huh.
After then The Dark Knight.
Right.
How does a guy who's worth so much and has a business, and someone like Mr. Fox,
uh-huh,
how do they let his business get to that point of him losing it?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the real big thing that that one critic, and I don't...
And I guess I get that.
You know, I mean...
But when you get down to it, people who go to see that movie, they don't really... I don't think they really care.
Right. I mean, for the storyline, it makes sense, I guess. But yeah. If you start thinking about it after I read it, it's like, you know, that kind of does make sense. Why would someone of Bruce Wayne's intelligence and the intelligence of Mr. Fox, who's supposedly been left as a day-to-day running his company, Wayne Enterprises, how do you not know his company is taking a nosedive quickly for no reason at all?
Right.
I mean, because why would you let anyone else in charge of Wayne Enterprises, considering anyone who would be put in charge could probably easily figure out what's going on as with Wayne as Batman?
Right.
Because there are going to be certain things you're not going to be able to sit there and explain away with Mr. Fox's Applied Sciences division.
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, you know, why didn't like a company like the SEC come down on him? You know, like, where's all this money going to that you're spending a ton of money on stuff and you're not really seeing anything?
Right.
You know, you can just see Security and Exchange really going after him, and a lot of government agencies wondering, hey, are you, you know, who's embezzling what and where's this money going to?
Right. So, I mean, but there's minor little things.
Right. I mean, if you really wanted to be nitpicky, yeah. I guess if this really happened in real life, Bruce Wayne probably doesn't get away with going through that kind of cash for those kinds of projects that he does to have for, you know, said equipment.
Right. It's just, you know, those little things, and some things you don't really think of until after you've read what someone else has written about it.
Well, it's all about perspective. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, I never really gave that much thought. Like I said, my biggest thought was that there was some predictable plot points in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Much like when, what's her name? Talia, is that right? The girl that he signs everything over to run the company.
Oh, which turns out to be Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, isn't her name Talia?
I think so. I don't remember.
And, you know, like, and I when I heard her name was Talia and I seen that cut on her arm in the pseudo bed scene, or in front of that camp,
with
fireplace.
With Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, is she really Talia al Ghul? Which you know is a character. You know, she's showing up before, you know, as Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Right, right. Now, the movie never really says, and Dark Knight Rises never really says, and you wouldn't expect him to say anything about the Joker.
Right.
Okay, but according to, I guess, the novel in Dark Knight Rises, there's...
Wait. Define novel, like a novelization of the movie?
Yes, novelization of the movie.
Okay.
Yes. Supposedly, there is a mention about the Joker in the book.
Okay.
Supposedly. And it says that he... there's some sort of conversation that happens, I'm not sure with who.
Uh-huh.
But you find out that the newly rebuilt Arkham Asylum...
Right.
Is now the new home of the Joker.
Right.
And he's been confined to solitary confinement.
Uh-huh.
And his biggest gripe in there is because he has no one to play with.
That makes perfect sense. That would have set up really good for Harley Quinn.
Right. A fifth one.
Yeah.
Would have
set up really good for a Harley Quinn, because that's what Harley Quinn was before.
You know, and it's probably a good thing they didn't want to try and do a fourth movie.
Yeah.
Because with Heath Ledger dying, if you did somehow wanted to bring the Joker back, recasting that, no one would buy it, first off. And everyone would have an issue with it. How dare you do so after Heath Ledger playing it?
Right.
Yeah, I think it would have had so many issues, and there have been so many, quote, I think... backlash against it, that it's probably good it did end at three movies.
Yeah, although I could have seen the whole movie being a fourth one. If they wanted to do a fourth one, and I think if they would have done a fourth one where they could have had Harley as the primary villain, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Or not even a primary villain, but if you would have had her as a sub-villain.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe you see, you know, like maybe Batman battles some of the lesser known ones. Maybe you get like two villains in the movie at one time.
Right.
Not necessarily teaming up together, but let's say like Batman fights Clayface and I don't know, give me somebody that's kind of a...
There's some people out there would love to see the Croc.
Yeah, or Killer Croc, yeah.
Killer Croc, or, you know, there's... Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to say, you know, we'll say... Well, let's say Clayface, because Clayface is kind of a mental case in and of himself because of his issues. But you can see them having Clayface delivered to Arkham Asylum. You could have incorporated Harley into the, because she was a psychiatrist before the Joker gassed her.
Right.
You know, you could have had Batman even just kind of roaming Arkham Asylum at night and checking on the Joker. And you wouldn't have actually had to see a face or anything like that, but maybe just kind of a silhouette.
Right.
You know, something to say, hey, you know, Heath may be gone, but the character's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it seems kind of trivial, but if you were to done a fourth and maybe a fifth one where you had Harley maybe breaking the Joker out at the end of the fourth one.
Right.
You know, you had this thing, you know, the Heath Ledger's, you know how I got these scars routine.
Right.
You know, maybe he mangled his face in the process. So you could have been a little more believable to the point of... You have somebody playing the Joker, and you're not trying to do too much like Heath Ledger, but maybe just think of it as this guy's just trying to do his due diligence to not ruin the character for him.
Right.
I think you can do it and be respectful. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, I know we mentioned off the top of the show here that the next Superman movie is going to have Batman in it as well.
Yep.
Okay. Besides that,
uh-huh.
Real quickly here, because we need to kind of start wrapping it up.
Okay.
Do you think Warner Brothers will try and put out a separate Batman movie by themselves within the next 5 years?
Well, I got to say no. As much as I think Warner Brothers would love to figure out a way to...
Do another Batman movie.
I can't see them doing it until...
At least after the
supposed Justice League movie in 2017.
Assuming that stays intact.
Yeah, so assuming everything goes as planned, which is Batman Superman in 2015, you get The Flash in 2016, Justice League in 2017. I can't see them doing one until 2018. I really can't. I can't imagine them doing another Batman movie until after the first Justice League movie.
Do they use the same guy they used for Batman for the second Superman in Justice League, or do they go completely different route?
I think it probably depends on how whoever they cast for Batman for 2015, whoever, you know, how he's received and if he's believable enough and young enough to continue to, you know, be able to do these movies for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because these three Nolan movies, you know, they took, what, from 2004 to...
2005. 2005.
Well, I'm talking principal filming.
Oh, yeah, principal filming, yes.
Principal filming of 2004 through the, you know, last
into,
year.
Into 2011 somewhere.
Yeah, into 2011, beginning of 2012, yeah, depending on reshoots and,
yeah,
and whatever special effects shots you need to get for that. You know, that's almost 10 years, you know, for those three movies. And you have to think, is this guy going to be young enough to continue to do that?
Right.
You know, and be able to keep up with the grueling pace. And will he be believable on screen? Will he not look ridiculously young in terms of, or ridiculously old by the time they get to whatever movie they got planned for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my thought.
Well, one way or the other, Batman won't be going away anytime soon.
I mean,
Chris Nolan has shown, and even in the first four movies shown, with the right cast, the right script, mm-hmm. the right look, Batman can succeed at the theater.
Well, yeah, and all you have to do is just make sure you identify with the audience that's going to see it.
Right. And I think even the next Batman movie is going to be taking the Chris Nolan series as a kind of a Bible. Ground him, realistic. Mm-hmm. Don't get cheesy because people already, aren't going to buy the cheese.
Yeah, and they've already had the, you know, before they announced it today that there was going to be a Batman Superman movie, they had already done a wink and a nod in Man of Steel to him anyway. One of the satellites that gets destroyed in the movie
is a Wayne Enterprise
satellite,
right?
And so I don't see why there can't be. I don't see why there can't be, you know, something to that effect of when they do this new movie that. I have no idea where I'm going with this. I'm just kind of rambling.
Okay,
maybe we should call it.
Well, we probably didn't get as in depth as we could have, but then again, we'd have been
here.
How
much in depth do you want to get?
Well, we've already been for an hour and 5 minutes.
That's pretty in depth.
Yes, we could probably go on for another hour if we really wanted to get into the nuts and bolts of all those movies, yeah. But that would get tedious.
Okay, well let's end it on this then. We know that the next Batman movie will be Batman and Superman.
Right.
Now they're saying if it's Batman versus Superman, you know, obviously that won't stay that way for very long. It may be an initial confrontation kind of thing.
But there's going to be some villain in there that's going to bring them together.
Now, if do you think that will be Lex?
I don't know.
If it had to be one, Lex is the one that's got to be because Lex is the one with all the money.
That depends. I mean, being that it is a quote probably be more of a Superman movie than it will be a Batman movie.
Right.
You would have to assume it's going to be the character they're going to end up going after villain wise would have to be Lex Luthor, unless Warner Brothers is saving Lex for a third Superman movie by himself, where they just want to deal with that.
Well, like I said, I've always I've always thought Lex was the better puppet master than he was the villain at the head of the fight.
Right.
You know, he should always be the one that's pulling the strings and making other people do his bidding.
If it's not Lex per se, mm-hmm. with an actual character, they're going to do a pseudo where at the end of the movie you're going to find out whoever villain those two are taking on.
Uh-huh.
You're going to find at the very end
Lex is the one pulling the strings.
Lex is pulling the strings, which is going to probably set up the third.
Yeah.
Third Superman movie with Henry Cavill, mm-hmm. I would assume.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that would be the entire plot for the third movie.
Yeah.
That's which could be enough because I mean Lux has been done how many times in some of these Superman movies now? Quite a few.
Yeah. He's been the
go-to guy.
The primary villain. One, two, four, and Superman Returns.
Right. So my guess is you probably won't see Lux. I wouldn't say until the third.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
There's other characters I'd like to see. And when I say other characters, I do not mean Brainiac, and I do not mean Doomsday.
Well, at one time there was rumor of Patrick Stewart doing Brainiac. There was a rumor at one time.
If I'm going to have somebody bald play Brainiac, you know who I'd rather have? Woody Harrelson.
I
got three words for you: natural born killers. That's all you need to know.
Anyway, well, this does conclude. I think.
I
think we'll conclude it for this podcast of being about Batman. Although we did stray.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we strayed about was
all DC
pseudo on topic.
DC related.
Yeah. Except for the A-Team.
Yes. Except for the A-Team. thanks for joining me tonight.
Not a problem. I'm Steve the Specialist. Hope you've enjoyed our take on. All things Batman.
And I'm Reggie.
Most things Batman.
Yeah.
Things Batman.
I'm Reggie. Podcast number three will be
forthcoming.
Forthcoming, hopefully sooner than podcast number two did.
All right.
I can guarantee you that. And thanks for everyone out there listening. And we'll talk at you later.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.